Make Me Smart is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Fine, Drew. Just go ahead. Just go ahead. Come with all y'all. Hey, everybody. I'm Colin Risdahl. Welcome back to Make Me Smart, where we make today make sense, mostly because Drew Jostad tells us we have to.
Hey, I'm Andy Euler in for Kimberly Adams. Thanks to everybody for joining us on YouTube live stream and on the podcast for Economics on Tap.
We have passed along, by the way, y'all's best wishes to Ms. Adams while she helps out with her family. So she knows. She knows that you're thinking about her. All right, Standard Friday today. We're going to do the news fix, do a little half full, half empty. Mr. Euler, what are you drinking, if anything?
I am drinking a... I actually kind of wanted to have a conversation with you about this. I'm drinking a Dr. Pepper Zero. Are you... Yeah, what is your... I see your face. Give me your zero calorie or your diet soda take. I want a hot take here.
Right, okay. I don't understand the zero-ness of all the zeros. Coke Zero, Dr. Pepper Zero. I don't understand the zero, right? I get the diet part. I get that.
Sure.
I don't know what the zero is all about. I will also say... Dr. Pepper, it's kind of an acquired taste. I mean, I like one every now and then, but, you know, whatever.
Well, that's what I was going to sort of backstory you with, too. You know, the first Dr. Pepper plant was in Dublin, Texas, outside of Waco.
We used
to call it, I'm not kidding you, we used to call it vitamin DP in my house.
Oh, my God.
I mean, we are Dr. Pepper to the max. So, yeah. No, it is acquired, but it was acquired at like 3 years old for me.
That's fair. So you know you're in the cult. Once you're in, you're in.
That's right. What are you drinking?
I am having the proceeds of a bet that I won with my executive producer, one Nancy Fargali.
Nice.
Yes, she wanted to bet $50 on a certain issue, and I said, Nancy, that's too steep. I can tell you I'm going to win. And she said, what about beer? And I said, fine, let's bet beer. Now, we should know that Nancy Fargali does not drink. Anyway, so I win the bet, and she shows up with this confused therapist by appointment only.
Cool.
It's an Imperial IPA, 10.4% alcohol by volume. This is one pint, so it's going to be an interesting last, you know, 15 minutes of the podcast.
Sure.
Shout out to Dust Bowl Brewing. They're up in Turlock, California. So nice. Dust Bowl is not an inapt moniker, but it's quite the tasty pale ale. But I'll be having just one of these today.
Yeah,
just one. So anyway, let's do a little bit of, let's see. I'm just going to check the, a lot of Dr. Pepper love in the comments.
All right.
Holy cow.
I love it.
A lot of Dr. Pepper love. Jesus. So let's do some news.
Sure.
Go ahead. You're up.
You want me to go?
Yep.
So, we got some earnings, today, and you know, the ones that I pay attention to a lot are Big Oil. And, you know, we had that line a couple of months ago about more money than God. President Biden talking about Exxon and all these folks. They had to tell investors today that he's not really that wrong. They all
that's a good line.
They all basically posted. So collectively, Exxon, Chevron, Shell banked a record $46 billion in collective profits in the second quarter.
That's for 3 months. That's for 90 days.
That's
90 days.
That's a quarter. That's a quarter, ladies and gentlemen. And so basically, I mean, we knew this was coming, right? You had high oil prices. Yeah. You have really high crack spread, which the crack spread is how much refiners and oil companies are making off of turning that into gasoline and jet fuel and things like that. You kind of knew it was coming. What's so interesting is that I was just out in the Permian Basin in Midland, Texas, and I was driving around for two straight days. I drove around with drillers and small company gas, oil and gas exploration folks, and they were kind of selling me on this a little bit of woe is me. You know, we're not producing as much as we can because we can't get sand, we can't get water, we can't get labor, we can't get the rigs out there. And so there's a little bit of this, and you'll hear about this on not to forward promote, but there's a story about this on Monday.
It's coming Monday. I just did the promos before I left the office. Yeah, it's coming on Monday.
And so it's such an interesting sort of conundrum where, look, oil and gas companies, they're telling you right now, if they could be drilling, they would absolutely be drilling as much as they can, and they can't, just because of tight labor market, tight everything. So it's super, super, super interesting. But those numbers are telling us, yeah.
Yeah, well, no, I was just going to say, it is yet another... Wow, this is a weird economy moment. You know, they can't get what they need to get this incredibly valuable stuff that the planet really wants more of every single day out of the ground. And before you add climate change, and we ought to keep it in the ground and all that. And I didn't mean you. I meant everybody else out there, right?
Yeah.
Yes, so stipulated. But for now, it's what the world goes around on, and the idea that we can't get to it because the supply chain is messed up and because there's not enough labor, it's wild.
The other thing, this is a bigger economics question that you and I probably can't answer today, but you know, there's sort of this argument of, well, if oil companies are making all this money and they have all these record profits, why aren't we paying so much for gas? And that's a bigger discussion about how the economy works, right? It's not their fault that the price of oil is this high.
Here's what I want you to do, actually. I want you to spare us the YouTube comments and the nasty tweets I'm going to get when people hear the pod. Explain why gas is still so expensive when they can't drill and price of oil is, you know, below $100, 30 cents.
Yeah, very, very simply, oil is a global market, right? And so if Russia isn't producing and Russia isn't exporting oil, and we're talking about how difficult it is to get oil out of the Permian Basin and other parts of the United States, look, it's a global market. And more than 50%, I think it's closer to 60% of the price of gasoline is the price of oil.
Yep.
So if you're paying a lot for oil, that's what's happening. Yeah. I mean, it's you can't just and then you're asking, I guess you're asking firms and big giant businesses to just kind of give money back, and they're not going to do that.
That is not in the nature of a firm. Should they?
Exactly.
Yes. Do they have corporate responsibilities and civic responsibilities? Yes. Is that the way it works? No.
No. Exactly.
Okay. What about you? All right. So here's mine. And it's a riff on something Sudeep said. Sudeep Reddy from Politico, a very astute observer of the politics of this economy. He said on the wrap this afternoon with me on the air with Anna Swanson from the New York Times. And it's my news peg is a piece in Bloomberg, the headline of which is July stock rally was a monster the Fed may regret seeing. And here's why I want to just mention it and make sure everybody sees what's going on here. So the Federal Reserve, in the person of Jay Powell, has been really clear that they're going to raise interest rates as much as they can to keep inflation under control. They are going to tighten financial conditions, right? They're going to make money more expensive. They're going to make people more aware of how they spend. And hopefully, in doing that, get people to spend less money, get companies to spend less money, and thus slow down the economy. Not driving into a recession. Jay Powell does not want a recession, right? He wants to slow it down. He wants to weaken the labor market just a teensy little bit because the labor market is very strong now, and hopefully get inflation under control.
Yep.
The markets are saying, hey, Jay.
Don't really care. Yeah.
Pound sand, man. Yeah. I don't care what you think. And I will give you, four indicators. The first indicator is the yield on the 10-year Treasury note, which today closed at 2.65%. About a month ago, maybe a month and a half ago, it was at 3.4%, right? So it's lost 80 basis points, 0.8%. As the Fed and all of the Fed governors have been jawboning higher interest rates, saying we are going to make money more expensive. And the bond market is saying, oh, no, you're not.
Yep.
Numbers 2, 3, and 4 are... stock market indices for July, and I'm reading literally from the script from the numbers this afternoon from the show. Dow Jones Industrial Average up 6.7% in July. The NASDAQ up more than 12%, and the S&P 500 rose more than 9%. So that is another sign that instead of tightening financial conditions, the markets are easing them, right? When the major indices go up, people feel richer, they are more likely to spend, and thus financial conditions are eased. And so I think what's going to have to happen as a result of this, and it's not just me, there are other more educated people who think this and smarter observers of the scene, this means that the Fed is going to have to, in its September meeting, because we have no meeting in August because they're all going to Jackson Hole for the big Kansas City Fed retreat.
Sure.
And Powell's going to give a big speech, which we will parse 19 ways from Sunday. But in September when they meet, they're going to drop the hammer and say, no, no, no. We are done screwing around. I don't know if it's going to be 75 basis points, a full percent, whatever. But the Fed is going to absolutely clobber us because it needs to trim these expectations right the bleep now. And people need to be aware of that.
Wasn't there a line? There was a line in that Bloomberg piece about stopping the party, right? About just absolutely putting the hammer down. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's going to happen.
It's a riff. Yeah. It's a riff on William McChesney Martin, former Fed chair, who very famously said, my job is to take away the punch bowl once the party, just as the party really gets going. And look, the party's really been going in this economy since the early days of the pandemic. I know it doesn't feel like it, and pandemic sucks, and Zoom meetings are terrible, and all of that stuff, right? But the economy's been doing really well. Have we had 6 months of shrinking GDP? Yes. But the job market is stupidly strong. Consumers are spending money. We feel terrible. We're cranky, and we're not happy with things, but we're spending money. And Powell now, I think, in consultation with the Federal Open Market Committee, is going to say, no, no, no. Bleep me, bleep you. I didn't see Bridget. I didn't cuss, so you don't have to bleep me.
God. All right, you want to play a game?
Don't want to get yelled at by Bridget Bonner. Yes, let's play a game.
That's right.
Please. All right, half full, half empty is the game. Drew Jostad is in charge. Drew, begin, please.
Okay, did you see the video of the dead spider robots?
No, but I saw a retweet of the tweet about the dead spider robots, and I think it was Pour Me Coffee. The handle Pour Me Coffee. He said, for the love of God, please once just watch a movie, right? So look, anyway, Euler, up to you.
Is
I'm half
it?
Empty on spider robots. Yeah. Yeah.
Half Wait, is that the prompt, Drew?
Okay.
Is that what I'm doing?
Well, okay. Researchers at Rice University.
Euler, keep up.
Turning dead spiders into necrobot grippers, using like the hydraulics inside a dead spider carcass to pick things up.
Right. So am I half empty dead spiders? Yeah. I don't care if it's from Rice University in Houston down the street from me. Yeah, I'm half empty that. I don't need to see the video.
Yeah. God. Thank you. Heart pass.
Okay. No love for the spiders.
No love.
Are you half full or half empty on the CHIPS Act?
Oh, I'm half full. Although here's what I don't understand. And if I could channel my inner Bernie Sanders for a minute, right? I mean, so we're going to spend $52 billion to give subsidies and incentives to U.S. semiconductor manufacturers. Here's the catch. These are multi-billion dollar companies. Why do they need incentives?
Yeah, you're right.
Nonetheless, I'm half full.
Yeah, I'm sort of, I think I'm half full. I think incentivizing onshoring and trying to figure out a way to get businesses to make these sorts of things, sure, great. And they're not going to do it, or I guess they claim they're not going to do it because it's so much cheaper to offshore unless you incentivize them. So I'm with you, Kai. It's sort of like, why are you giving big, big firms all this money to do this? Right. But that's the way things work, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's exactly right. And that's the thing that just people off, which I get, right? The whole, ooh, that's the way things work thing, but it is the way things work. It's not like you
That's the bigger discussion that we were talking about earlier.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's right. Anyway,
go ahead, Drew.
All right, Klondike announced that it's discontinuing the Choco Taco. Are you sad or do you not care?
I am sad. I will go out because, I mean, the Choco Taco was a big deal here. It was sort of, I mean, you know, it feels pretty Tex-Mexy anyway. We had Choco Tacos when we were kids. It's a bummer. I don't know. It's also a great name.
I am not It is a great name. I'm not afraid to say that I didn't really know what Choco Tacos were until this week.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, you know, grew up overseas, spent my life in the Northeast, came out here to California, and by then I was past the Choco Taco phase. I got nothing.
Fair enough.
Although, people, those childhood treats, just like,
absolutely. Like Dr.
DP
Pepper.
Or whatever the hell that thing was. Yeah.
Vitamin DP, man.
Sorry. Anyway, vitamin DP, right. There you go.
Okay, half full or half empty on Beyonce's new album.
Oh, interesting.
I'm half full. I mean, she can do no wrong. First of all, did you see that? Was it just a tweet, or was it the picture of it's her on some sort of magical animal? Beyonce can do no wrong. If you say anything bad about Beyonce on a podcast, you're just gonna. I mean, it more than the economy, Kai. You're just gonna get hammered. So,
I totally agree. Look, so Lemonade was amazing. That video that she made out of Coachella was incredible. I have not heard the new album Renaissance, right? Is that it?
Yeah, that's right.
That is it. I'm reasonably sure.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. She's not my style, other than my appreciation of mastery of her art form.
Sure.
I think her business savvy is second to none. And as I have said on the record, I think on this podcast, if I could get two female entrepreneurs on this podcast, one would be Beyonce and the other one would be Kim Kardashian. Because their business savvy is unbelievable. So I'm all the way full on this album and how she's doing it, truly.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
What do we got?
All right, you don't have to pass judgment on how much you want to hang out with the coworkers who are listening right now, but are you half full or half empty on office parties?
Dude, oh my goodness.
Kai, you know this. I haven't been to an office party in, 4 years, 5 years?
I
work out of Boston.
Yeah. No,
I like them.
You're on a roll.
No, they're a good hang, and when I'm in town, when I happen to be in town sort of checking in with folks, we always, sit in, we listen to the show and I like them. I like, the kind of BS-ery that happens. There you go, Bridget. I think it's fun. I'm fine with them.
I am not the world's most social guy, but about, 3 weeks, a month ago, we had an office, a marketplace, Los Angeles, gathering. It was a happy hour.
Sure.
It was nice to see people. It was great. Now, that's different than an office party, especially an office holiday party. There is great peril there.
Over
Let's not
house.
Go into that. That's a whole different podcast. Yeah, over at my house, of which there were many over the past, too damn many years. I think, look, I miss people in the office. I truly do. I truly do.
Yeah.
But that's all different.
I'm with you. Yep.
Yes. Oh. Well, that was fast. Good grief.
Yeah.
It fairly blew by. All right, we're done for today. Next week, we are off. We're out of here. We're done. No new episodes of Make Me Smart, but something special in the feed for you on Tuesday. Back with all new episodes the week of August 8th. I will not be here. I will be on the aforementioned vacation. And if I didn't actually mention it, because I mentioned it on the radio show, I will be off. I will be away until Monday the 15th. But the podcast will be in good hands, I hope.
In the meantime, keep sending your thoughts and all your questions. Email us at makemesmart@marketplace.org. You can also leave us a voice message. We're at 508-827-6278. That's 508-U-B-SMART. I think this is you.
Oh, now, Bridget, we got both of us on here on the rundown doing the credits.
We do.
All right, I'm
going
to start, Euler. It's me. It's
here
me.
You go. You go.
Make Me Smart is produced by Marissa Cabrera. Today, with help from Mark K. Green. Today's episode was engineered by Drew Jostat. The senior producer is Bridget Bodner.
Team behind our Friday game is Stephen Bion, Mel Rosenberg, and Emily McCune, with the theme music written by the aforementioned and the game sort of maestro, Drew Jostat. The director of On Demand is my buddy, Donna Tam, DT. How are you doing? Thanks for having me.
Donna's probably not listening to the show.
Oh, no.
Probably not.
Maybe she's on the YouTube
probably
channel.
Not. That'd be scary.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.